The history of crime detection has produced no more famous name than that of Sexton Blake. We present William Franklin as Sexton Blake, with David Gregory as his assistant Tinker, and Heather Chason as his secretary Paula Dane, in a series of case histories by Donald Stewart. Today's episode is called The Enchanted Editor.
Are you sure the nail pairings contain traces of arsenic, Tinker?
Quite sure, Gov. I double-checked on it.
That'll be bad news for the lady's husband. Now, who was that at the front door just now?
I don't know. I was in the lab. Paula dealt with whoever it was. Shall I take these round to Chief Inspector Coots?
Not for the moment. I want to...
Mr. Blake, I've got a lunatic in my office.
Oh, well, it's quite near the full moon, isn't it?
I'm serious.
What did he do, Paula? Chase you around the desk with an axe?
No. He's quite an inoffensive little man, but he's nuts.
What's his name?
Pendleton. Alexander Pendleton. He's the editor of a magazine called Our Feline Friends, all about cats.
Oh, I like cats. Shoot him in.
Thank you, Mr. Blake.
Can I stay and see this nutcase, Gov?
Do. Take the interview as usual.
This way, Mr. Pendleton.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, dear. It's all so impossible.
Sit down, Mr. Pendleton.
Oh, I'd rather not. I'm so agitated. You see, it wasn't my wife or my daughter. It was my house, but it wasn't my wife.
I'll be in my office if you should want me, Mr. Blake.
Just tell me exactly what's troubling you.
Yes. Yes, yes, of course. Well, I'm a journalist, Mr. Blake. I edit a monthly magazine, Our Feline Friends. Oh, dear. This thing has upset me rather badly. I arrived home as usual, you see, and the shock was really appalling.
Something to do with your wife, Mr. Pendleton.
Indeed, yes.
Hmm. What happened when you arrived home?
I let myself in with my latchkey, hung up my hat on the hall stand, and put my umbrella in its usual place. A woman came down the stairs, a strange woman. I'd never seen her before in my life.
Well?
I asked her who she was, and she said she was my wife, but she wasn't, Mr. Blake. I was arguing with her when another, younger woman came out of the lounge. She said she was my stepdaughter, but she wasn't either.
They said they were your wife and stepdaughter.
Yes, they insisted. But I assure you, Mr. Blake, they were complete strangers to me, complete strangers.
Were these two women like your wife and stepdaughter?
Oh, there was a slight superficial resemblance, but they definitely were not my wife and stepdaughter.
Well, in spite of everything you said, did they continue to insist they were?
Yes. They said I must be ill or mad, but I'm neither, Mr. Blake.
What did you do?
I called in Mrs. McIntyre, one of my neighbors. She's been acquainted with myself, my wife, and my stepdaughter for several years, ever since we came to live in Elgin Avenue.
What did Mrs. McIntyre say?
She confirmed what these women said.
That they actually were what they claimed?
Yes, it was quite incredible.
You're sure there's no mistake? I mean, perhaps in some way you imagined...
No, it was no mental aberration. I'm as sane as you are, Mr. Blake. What has happened to my wife? What has happened to my stepdaughter? Where are they? Why have these imposters taken their place?
It certainly seems to be a most unusual situation, if what you tell me is true.
It is true. Everything I've told you is the truth. I'm willing to swear that those two women are strangers to me.
What time was it when you got home last night?
My usual time, shortly after 5:30.
How did you spend the evening?
Oh, it was most embarrassing. Most embarrassing. I retired to my study and I slept in the spare bedroom.
This woman whom you assert is posing as your wife, what did she say?
She expostulated. She told me I was being ridiculous. They both pleaded with me not to be silly and have my dinner. But, of course, I refused.
What happened this morning?
Oh, a repetition of last night.
Since you have a stepdaughter, this is your wife's second marriage.
Yes, she was a widow when I married her.
When was that?
6 years ago, a little longer. After that length of time, is it possible I could not recognize my own wife?
Well, it doesn't seem so. What is your wife's Christian name and the name of your stepdaughter?
My wife's name is Mary. My stepdaughter's Anne Croxley. The whole thing is upsetting me very seriously, Mr. Blake. I'm worried about the whereabouts of my real wife and stepdaughter.
Yes, of course. I'll do what I can, Mr. Pendleton. Are you going to your office from here?
No. I started my usual annual holiday yesterday, or rather this morning. I shall go to my club. Most probably I shall arrange to stay there until this matter is resolved.
Please leave the address and telephone number with my secretary. I'll get in touch with you as soon as I have anything to tell you.
Thank you. I wish you good day.
Good morning, Mr. Pendleton.
Cracked as a coot, poor chap.
No more eccentric than most of our clients.
Why should those women pretend to be what they're not? There's no sense in it.
I can't think of any reasonable explanation offhand.
Well, like the neighbour, Mrs.
Mrs. McIntyre.
Yeah, she agrees that they're Pendleton's wife and stepdaughter. I'll bet the chap has some kind of a brainstorm.
It's quite possible, but in that case, it's purely medical. But supposing he's telling the literal truth.
Well, he can't. It's too absurd.
Have you sorted out that queer little man yet? I must say, he seemed more rational when he left.
You wouldn't have thought he was rational if you'd heard what he said. What he wants is a psychiatrist.
And what I want is the car. I'm going to see Mrs. McIntyre.
What can be the matter with a man? Can he no recognize his own wife?
You've no doubt at all, Mrs. McIntyre, that it is his wife.
I'd as soon doubt that my name was Jean McIntyre.
And his stepdaughter?
Aye, the same applies to her as well.
You've known the Pendletons for quite a long time, Mrs. McIntyre.
Aye, a matter of nearly 6 years.
Would you say they were a happy family?
As happy as most. They had their differences, who doesn't? But they got along fine. Mark you, Alex wasn't an easy man for a woman to put up with.
In what way?
He was a wee bit on the fussy side. Everything had to be run like a timetable. Finicky is the word.
Why are you using the past tense, Mrs. McIntyre?
Was I? Well, I'm not much of a hand at grammar. I'd not waste your time on his fancies, Mr. Blake. No doubt it's just a passing upset and he'll come to his senses before long.
Rather an unusual kind of upset, don't you think?
There's no telling what tricks the mind will play. It's very disconcerting for poor Mary and Anne.
Yes, naturally.
If my husband came home and insisted I wasn't his wife, I don't know how I'd feel, but I know what I'd do. I'd take him off to the doctor right away.
You believe that Mr. Pendleton is suffering from a mental derangement?
Aye, I do. But can there be another explanation, can there?
Perhaps not. Well, thank you, Mrs. McIntyre.
I'll see you to the front door.
Just a waste of time, Governor. You seen two of the neighbors and they confirm each other. So Pendleton's in that case.
It looks like it, doesn't it?
You don't sound convinced.
I'm not entirely.
I don't know what more you want. Why should Mrs. McIntyre and the other woman lie about it?
I don't know. I'm not saying they did.
Pendleton says that these two women are not his wife and stepdaughter. They say they are. And two neighbors back him up. 4-1.
There's something wrong somewhere.
Wishful thinking.
Yeah?
Oh, that was a piece of a puzzle, wasn't it, Governor? And you wait to let it fade out with a simple explanation.
That Pendleton's deranged, you mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot more I'd like to know, Tinker.
Such as?
Know the background of all these people. Mrs. Pendleton, the stepdaughter, Mrs. McIntyre, and Croxley.
Croxley?
Mrs. Pendleton's first husband.
You're determined to make a thing of it, aren't you? Why didn't you see Mrs. Pendleton and the stepdaughter while you were there?
I'd like to know a little more about them first. I know. Stop at Nichols' office on the way home. We'll get him to do a bit of checking up.
I still say it's a waste of time, Governor.
It could be, but there's something I don't think you've taken into account. If these two women are imposters, what's happened to the real ones? Where are they?
Come on now, Governor. You're not suggesting...
I want to make sure, Tinker. It's worth a little trouble to make sure.
Isn't Mr. Blake back yet, Tinker?
No, and it's no good asking you where he's gone, because I don't know.
Well, when he does get back, will you tell him I've gone to Elgin Avenue?
Has he wrote you on this wild goose chase, too?
Of course. The firm would never get anywhere without me.
What are you supposed to do at Elgin Avenue?
Be whiter than the virgin snow.
What are you talking about?
I am the queen of the detergents. I represent Snow White, the washing powder with a kick. One spoonful and you can prove that black is white. No housewife should be without it. The seven dwarfs will be visiting your district, handing out lucky fivers.
Who thought that one up?
I did.
What do you expect to get?
A little gossip from the housewives of Elgin Avenue, and with luck, a photograph of Mrs. Pendleton and the stepdaughter.
Buttonhole camera.
How bright you are.
It's all yours. I bet they've never heard of Snow White washing powder.
It would surprise me if they had. It doesn't exist. Goodbye, Tinker.
Mr. Sexton Blake's residence? Oh, I'm afraid he isn't in. This is his assistant speaking. Hold on a second, will you? All right, go ahead. Yeah? Yeah. Oh, just a minute. Here's the governor now.
Who's that, Tinker?
Oh, one of Nichols' men.
Oh, fine. Hello? Blake speaking. Oh, that's quick work. Oh, I see. Yeah, I'd like to know more about that. In Australia? Well, find out all you can and let me know. Yes, thanks. Right, you are. Goodbye.
I just got the bit about Pendleton's brother when you came in.
Maximilian Pendleton emigrated to Australia 20 years ago, just after the war. Lived in Mosman, Sydney, New South Wales. Well, I don't think he's going to help us much.
Where have you been, Governor?
See the owner of Pendleton's paper, Our Feline Friends. I've seen so many cats.
Cats?
Dozens of them, all sorts, all over the house. He's a nice old bloke named Skewfit. Jeremy Skewfit, a bachelor whose whole life is quite obviously dedicated to cats.
What did he get out of him?
He has a very high opinion of Pendleton, but he says that he hasn't been himself lately. Skewfit thinks there's something worrying him.
First symptoms of insanity, I expect.
You're not quite convinced, aren't you? Well, we shall see. Get on to Pendleton's club. The number's on my desk. I want to have a word with him.
Well, whereabouts? Oh, I've got it. Is that the Rotary Club? I'd like to speak to Mr. Pendleton. Mr. Alexander Pendleton. I believe he's staying with you. Oh. Are you sure? Oh, I see. Yeah, thank you very much. Pendleton's not in the club, Governor. And what's more, he hasn't been there for several weeks.
I don't think I've ever talked so much before.
Yeah, it must have been quite something.
There's no need for any cracks, Mr. Blake. I never want to mention the word detergent again.
Apart from this remarkable display of energy, how did you get on?
If you're going to be sarcastic...
I'm not. I appreciate your efforts, Paula.
And so you should. My goodness, those housewives, they must live for their washing machines. The mention of a new powder sends them in a kind of frenzy.
Never mind all that. What about those two women?
Well, I'm afraid you've been barking up the wrong tree, Mr. Blake. Pendleton's talking a lot of rubbish. There's not the smallest doubt that they are his wife and stepdaughter. At least six people in Elgin Avenue who know them both well by sight vouch for it.
You saw them yourself?
Yes. They're both very nice women, and I'd say they're both extremely worried. I've got three photographs, by the way.
Good. Think you can develop them when he comes back.
Where's he gone? Or is that a top secret?
He's gone to Pendleton's club. Apparently Pendleton didn't go there after all.
Well, he's not at home.
How do you know that?
Mrs. McIntyre popped in while I was talking to Mrs. Pendleton, and she asked.
Ah. Little things, most extraordinary.
Simple enough to me. The man's just loopy.
Yes, but where is he?
Oh, wandering around the country, thinking he's Napoleon, probably.
Complete rank, Governor. Nobody at the club has seen Pendleton for 8 weeks. Oh, hello, Paula. What have you done with the Seven Dwarfs?
I can't wait for the shopping centre of Elgin Avenue to be besieged by angry housewives clamouring for packets of Snow White.
Paula's got three photographs for you to develop.
Mrs. Pendleton and the stepdaughter?
Yeah, let me have a dozen prints blown up to half plate size.
Okay, go.
Well, I'm off to find something to eat.
Mrs. Bardell is doing us a mixed grill. You'd better stay and have some.
Oh, thank you. That sounds gorgeous.
On your way to the lab, you can tell her there'll be two extra people for supper, Tinker.
Well, who's the other one?
Oh, there isn't another one. I'm just making sure Tinker and I get a little, that's all.
Sure. Mother, there's someone at the door.
Can you go, Anne? My hands are all wet.
All right.
Good morning. Miss Croxley, isn't it?
Yes.
My name is Blake. Could I speak to your mother?
Who is it, Anne?
Mrs. Pendleton. Ah, may I come in for a moment?
Is it about my husband?
Well, yes.
Please come in. Shut the door, Anne. Where is he?
He hasn't been home.
No. Not since the night before last. We've been terribly worried. I'm afraid he's not at all well.
I gather he's been behaving rather strangely.
That's putting it mildly. He said that Mother wasn't his wife and that I wasn't his stepdaughter. He said that we were strangers and he'd never seen us before. Do you know my husband?
He called to see me yesterday morning. He told me this extraordinary story.
It's quite ridiculous. He must have had some kind of mental blackout.
You think that's the explanation?
What else could it be? Well, he was very strange when he came in, not at all like himself. And he wouldn't have any dinner. He shut himself in his study and insisted on sleeping in the spare room.
Well, that's understandable if he was under the impression that you were not his wife.
He ought to know his own wife after 6 years. How do you come into this, Mr. Blake?
Oh, I told you. He consulted me about it.
I don't quite understand. Who are you?
Here's my card. I think that would explain.
Oh, I've heard of you.
Do we have to stand in the hall, Mother?
I'm sorry. Come in here, Mr. Blake. Please, sit down.
Ah, thank you. Mr. Pendleton said he was going to his club, but he didn't. Can you suggest anywhere he may have gone?
Mr. Skewfit?
I've seen Mr. Skewfit.
Well, I can't think of anywhere else. He hadn't much money with him. He keeps a small amount in his study with his checkbook, but he didn't take either.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Mr. Skewfit seemed to think that Mr. Pendleton was worrying about something recently. Do you think he was?
Yes, I'm sure he was. Something's been troubling him for about a fortnight.
Financial trouble?
No, I'm sure it wasn't anything like that. He's a very careful man, Mr. Blake, and we live very quietly. Apart from his salary, he has a small private income. It wouldn't be anything to do with money.
He didn't give you any hint of what it was?
No. I asked him if there was anything the matter once, and he did say it's very difficult to decide the right thing to do. Do you remember, Mother?
Well, I thought it was about the cats.
What cats?
An old lady died and left him her prized Persian cats in her will.
Alex couldn't make up his mind what to do with them.
I don't think he was referring to Mrs. Leopold's cats.
I gather that Mr. Pendleton didn't discuss things much with either of you.
Nothing that really mattered, only trivial subjects.
So if he was worried over anything, he'd keep it to himself.
Yes, he's like that. He was quite upset over Mrs. Leopold, but he didn't say much.
Why was he upset?
It was the way she died, you see. One of her cats scratched her and it turned septic. She died from blood poisoning. Her husband wanted to have the cats destroyed.
Of course he couldn't, because they'd been left to Alex.
Where are the cats now?
Alex arranged for a vet to look after them until he decided what to do. We couldn't have had them here.
Mother doesn't like cats. She has a thing about them.
What do you think I ought to do, Mr. Blake, about Alex?
Well, I shouldn't do anything yet. I'll try my best to find him.
Oh, well, it's very kind of you. I do hope you can. It's so dreadfully worrying. Where can he have gone without any money?
That may bring him back. Will you let me know at once if you see or hear anything from him?
Of course.
Well, we'll leave it at that then for the moment. I'll get in touch with you as soon as I have any news.
Mr. Sexton Blake's residence? Oh, I'm sorry, he's not in. This is his secretary speaking. Can I help you? Oh, I see. Yes, I'll tell him as soon as he returns. Goodbye.
Where's the governor, Paula?
Out.
I see, just like that.
Well, that's all I know.
Didn't he tell you how you got on with Mrs. Pendleton?
Nobody tells me anything.
He didn't tell me either. If you ask me, he's at a dead end. Do you know anything about a woman named Leopold?
Should I?
Well, she's got something to do with this Pendleton business. Do stop typing for a minute and listen.
Well, hurry up, then. I want to get this finished before I go.
Got a date?
No. If you must know, I've got a lot of chores at the flat that I want to catch up with. Who is this woman, Leopold?
She was a middle-aged woman who lived in Thames Ditton.
Was?
She died 2 weeks ago. One of our cats scratched her and she got septicemia.
Well, how did she come into all this?
Well, don't ask me. The governor just told me to get all the information I could about her.
Here's Mr. Blake now.
Well, how do you get on, Tinker?
Well, I got all the gin I could.
Oh, before you start, I've got a message for you, Mr. Blake. The man you want is Dr. Dutton.
That's the chap who attended Mrs. Leopold.
Mm, that's right.
Well, here's his address and telephone number. I wrote them down.
Oh, fine. Now, Tinker, let's hear what you've got.
Well, there wasn't very much to get, Governor. This Mrs. Leopold was very rich. She was fairly well off before, but a couple of years ago she inherited a fortune from her uncle abroad. I don't know how much it was, but it was quite something. She lived in a big house in Thames Ditton, and she was married to a chap named Joseph Leopold. He was a good bit younger than she was, and they'd been married for nearly 3 years.
That all?
Except that she bred prize cats, Persians. I suppose that's what links her up with this Pendleton.
It might be more than that. I'm not sure yet. I'm just groping about in the dark. It was from a scratch from one of the cats that she died.
Oh, no. Dr. Dutton was rather surprised, according to the landlord and the local.
Oh, that's where you get your information. What sort of chap is Leopold? I mean, did they say?
Not in so many words, but I gathered that he wasn't much like.
Why?
Well, sort of didn't belong. She came from an old county family, class of the capital C, the Clifton Bennets.
What is Leopold? I mean, what's his business?
Well, he hasn't any. No business, no money, no breeding.
What was he before he married?
Well, in the advertising business. That's how he met this Miss Alice Clifton Bennet, as she was then. Came to make a commercial for cat food.
Cats again?
Keep on cropping up, don't they? I suppose Leopold saw his chance and went all out to make the best of it.
Middle-aged woman, well off, quite a snip. What's Leopold like? Attractive?
Well, apparently not, according to the landlord. Rather insignificant.
Hidden charms.
I'd like to meet him.
He's away. Very cut up over his wife's death. His secretary's looking after things. Man named Jeffries used to act in the commercials.
Mr. Sexton Blake's residence? Oh, just a minute, please. It's Mrs. Pendleton.
Oh, thank you. Yes, Mrs. Pendleton. I'll come at once. No, don't say anything. Wait until I get there. Yes, I'm leaving now. Goodbye. Get the car, Tinker. We're going to Elgin Avenue. Pendleton's come home.
Mother phoned as soon as he got here, Mr. Blake. She's with him now. I'm afraid he's in a bad state.
In what way?
He seems to be completely dazed.
Does he still insist that you and your mother are strangers?
No, but he's still very peculiar.
How did he get here, Miss Croxley?
By taxi. I think the driver thought he was drunk.
Oh, I'd like to see him.
Oh, they're in the study. I'll take you.
Oh, thank you. Wait here, Tinker.
Okay, Gov.
Here's Mr. Blake, Mother.
Oh, come in, Mr. Blake. Alex, this is...
Who is it? I don't want to see anyone.
You remember me, Mr. Pendleton?
Remember? No, I don't remember you.
You came to see me the other morning.
I've never seen you before in my life.
Alex, what is the matter with you? You went to see Mr. Blake and told him that I wasn't your wife.
And that I wasn't your stepdaughter. You said you'd come home and found two strangers in the house.
That's what you said. You told us that. You shut yourself in here and refused to have any dinner.
I don't understand. I don't know what you mean. I've no recollection of coming here at all.
Alex.
Mr. Pendleton, what is your last recollection?
Leaving the office to begin my holiday. After that, everything is confused and mixed up.
But where have you been?
I don't know. I remember I was laughing. I couldn't stop. I was in some vast place. It was enormous.
Go on, Mr. Pendleton. Tell us all that happened.
Oh, it was all a dream, of course. The place kept changing. One minute it was huge, bigger than a cathedral, and then dwindled to a tiny room, and the laughter went on. Oh, it was horrible. And I could see it. I saw the sun.
Oh, dear, this is dreadful. What
can we... were some curtains and books. I could hear the colors, different notes. The books made a whole chorus of sound. The room was full of discordant music. I lost all sense of time.
I'm beginning partly to understand.
Something must have affected my brain. Is that what you mean? You think I'm mad?
No, I don't think you're mad at all.
Oh, it was like some strange enchantment. There was a complete blank, and then I found myself on a seat in a park. I don't know where. It couldn't have been far away. I felt a little dazed, but I managed to walk. I found myself in the street and got a taxi.
Well, now you're home. I suggest you go to bed and have a good rest. Don't worry, you'll soon be well.
If you can sort it all out into anything like sense, Mr. Blake, it'll be a minor miracle.
The first part of it's simple enough.
Only if you accept the fact that Pendleton's nuts and that stuff about seeing sounds and hearing colours.
That's what makes me certain he's quite sane.
I give up. Please, just explain in words of one syllable.
Very well. Cannabis indica and LSD.
Mm-hmm. Cannabis indica, that's... Indian hemp, isn't it?
Hashish, bang, gunja, marijuana. Well, it has many names.
Do you mean that Pendleton is a drug addict?
Oh, certainly not.
What do you mean, Governor?
Somebody pumped him full of cannabis indica, the pure fluid extract, and LSD. A really potent mixture. The cannabis indica produced the uncontrollable laughter, the illusion of hearing colors and seeing sounds. It also has the effect of distorting the time factor. Things that seem to take hours rarely happen in a few minutes, and vice versa. The sense of size and space is also affected. The LSD gives vivid dream sequences. You can say that the result of these drugs would be a kind of enchantment.
Then Mr. Pendleton was under the influence of these drugs when he came here.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, dear, this is getting me down.
I'll take it. That's Excellent Blake speaking. Oh, yes, Doctor. Good of you to ring. Yes, I rather wondered. They had no effect. I see. I understand you weren't too happy about it. It's quite. If you do that, I'll be very grateful. Oh, you'll treat this inquiry as confidential for the present at any rate? Thank you. I'll wait to hear. Yes, and once more, thanks for getting in touch so promptly. Goodbye. That concerns the second part of this business.
I'm still trying to cope with the first part.
The second is a bit more difficult.
What do you mean about the second part, Gov?
I mean the motive behind all this.
I suppose it's mixed up with Mrs. Leopold's death.
What's that got to do with Pendleton?
Well, that's the bit that's still got to be fitted in. I'm going to throw a little party.
Oh, good. Now, I'll see Mrs. Bardell about making the sandwiches.
Not that kind of party, Paula.
Oh.
What kind of party?
Just a small gathering, tomorrow evening, I think. That'll give me time to tie up the loose ends.
Are you sure? Can I get you another glass of sherry, Mrs. Pendleton?
No, thank you. I haven't finished this one yet.
And what about you, Miss Crockley?
Please.
Mr. Pendleton?
Oh, thank you. Most delicious wine.
I'll help you, Paula. Whiskey for you, Chief Inspector Coots?
Ought to know my tipple by now, eh? What's the idea?
You know as much as I do.
I think you're looking after you, Coots.
Yes, thanks. What's all this in aid of, Rick?
I'm behaving like all the traditional detectives of fiction. It makes a change.
Yes, but what's it all about?
You'll see.
Yeah, excuse me, will you?
Here's your sherry, Miss Crockley. Thank you. Tinker's bringing yours, Mr. Pendleton.
Oh, thank you.
All right, Paula, I'll go.
You are, Mr. Pendleton.
Thank you.
What is it, Pinker?
I don't know.
Here's Mr. Joseph Leopold come to join the party. Give Mr. Leopold a large brandy, Paula.
All right.
He'll probably need it.
Now, look here. You've got me to come here under false pretenses.
No, no, Mr. Leopold. Not false pretenses. Just a small subterfuge.
The solicitor who got in touch with me said it was an urgent matter. He didn't mention you at all.
Oh, a slight oversight, Mr. Leopold.
I interrupted my holiday. A great inconvenience.
I'm afraid it was necessary.
I intend to resume it at once. Good evening.
One moment, Mr. Leopold. I think you'd better wait and hear what I have to say. It concerns you very seriously.
I'm willing to spare you 5 minutes in private.
No, everyone here is intimately connected with what I have to tell you. Particularly Mr. Pendleton. He was a witness, you know.
To what?
To the way you murdered your wife.
What? You must be mad. My wife died from blood poisoning after one of our cats had scratched her.
But it was you who took advantage of that and inoculated her with the germs of streptococcal septicemia. Now, you tell us what you saw, Mr. Pendleton.
It was one of the cats. It had a very bad ear. Internally, of course. There was a quantity of discharge. I saw Mr. Leopold drawing this off in a syringe.
Nonsense! Pure imagination!
Oh, no, no, it wasn't.
You knew what Pendleton had seen. If he talked, it would make things awkward. Dutton was already puzzled why his efforts to cure Mr. Leopold had no effect. He'd no idea that you were continuously introducing fresh germs into her bloodstream.
It's nothing but a tissue of lies.
You adopted quite a clever little scheme, didn't you? You tried to make sure that if Pendleton did talk, nobody would believe him.
I'm not staying here listening to this rubbish any longer.
Better if you did, Mr. Leopold.
Who the devil are you?
This is Detective Chief Inspector Coutts. You'll get to know him quite well, I expect.
Why should I? The whole thing's nonsense. You can't rely on what Pendleton says.
I'm relying on the statement made by the man you employed to impersonate Pendleton.
It's not true. You can't prove a thing. Harris died from blood poisoning. Dutton signed a certificate. Whatever Jeffries may have said in that statement about Pendleton isn't true.
I shouldn't say any more. Keep it until we get to the yard.
What do you mean? You can't arrest me. I've done nothing, I tell you.
I'm not arresting you. Just detaining you, pending further inquiries.
I still don't understand, Mr. Blake. Are you saying that it wasn't Alex who came home and insisted that I wasn't his wife?
Yes, Mrs. Pendleton. It was the man who came to see me with the same outlandish story.
I told you it wasn't me.
But surely we should have known the difference.
You both admitted that he was strange in his manner, quite unlike his normal self. He shut himself up in his study, he kept out of your way, and he left without taking the money or his checkbook. That made me almost certain he wasn't Pendleton.
He was so like Alex.
Well, this man Jeffries had a moustache and a beard. Without them, he looked very like your husband. He used to be a character actor and an expert in makeup before Leopold took him on as his secretary. Well, he must have seen Mr. Pendleton on many occasions when he visited Mrs. Leopold.
But I don't quite see why Leopold went to so much trouble.
Would anyone have believed anything Mr. Pendleton said after his peculiar behavior? If he'd said what he saw about the syringes in the cat's ear, well, it would have been put down to his mental condition.
He called at the office that afternoon to ask what I was going to do about the cats. I was alone. There's usually only my secretary, you see, and she'd gone home. I was having a cup of tea, and I don't remember much after that.
I've no doubt he slipped something in the tea, got you into his car, drove you to his house at Thames Ditton, and then filled you up with cannabis indica and LSD.
I can remember very little.
Was Mrs. Leopold very rich?
She was worth well over £700,000.
Oh, that's a lot of lolly.
If you'll excuse me, I must go around and put Coots in the picture. He played up well.
Why didn't you tell him what you were up to?
I just like springing surprises. Makes the game worthwhile.
Oh, don't forget to take that statement from Jeffries, Mr. Blake. If you tell me where it is, I'll get it for you now.
I wish you could, Paula, but it doesn't exist.
Oh, no.
Oh, don't worry. Now we know that it was Jeffries, it soon will. Give everyone another drink, Paula. I'll be back as soon as I can.
You know, it's rather a shame. Mr. Leopold never drank his brandy.
That story in our Sexton Blake series was called The Enchanted Editor and was written by Donald Stewart. William Franklin was Sexton Blake, David Gregory, Tinker, and Heather Chasen, Paula. Alexander Pendleton was played by Preston Lockwood, Mrs. McIntyre by Beth Boyd, Anne Croxley, Sean Davis, Mary Pendleton, Betty Hardy, Detective Chief Inspector Coots, Wilfred Carter, and Joseph Leopold was played by Humphrey Morton. The series was devised for radio by Philip Ridgway and produced by Alastair Scott Johnson.